Hello, everyone. This is the Sportsologist in episode 3.
Episode 3. Jesus, it's rolling on, isn't it?
Well, on a roll, mate. We're on a roll.
Stopping it.
No, the momentum's building up. And look, last episode we were talking a bit about NRL.
Yeah, we were. The whole 15 minutes on that one, but why not? It's a pretty good game.
Oh, great game. Great game to watch. Not so great game to play, I'm sure. But look, the game that I do like to play is cricket, and I played a lot of cricket back in Canberra and up here on the north coast as well when I moved up. But I did have about 25 years out of the game, and then made the big comeback.
What was the big comeback, mate?
Well, I came back and played grade cricket. I hadn't played any cricket at all for 25 years. And, so I came back and was playing in Coffs Harbour and played mainly second grade, a few first grade games after the age of 50. And then played a bit of cricket with my son. That was always good to do. He was a very good player, he was. Still is.
I was just about to mention that there is actually a third grade team, or two or three local third grade teams. I'm sure this goes worldwide, which are nothing but father and sons. And
absolutely.
This is something that's amazing about cricket, isn't it? Is it crosses generations. I mean, my captain, and obviously I didn't have the illustrious cricket career you did, but that was what we have. I think he's still playing in his 70s, 72, 73. I think it took, both his hammies to go at once to put him down.
Well, that's not hard when you're 70. Usually it's the calf muscle, mate. The old man's calf muscle goes. But look, just on that subject, there's lots of comps for over 70s, over 60s and over 40s and 50s of cricket. And it's a very big circuit. And there's a national team. As a guy I used to play cricket against, Peter O'Reilly, back in Canberra, very good player. He went on to play in Sydney first grade as well, but he's touring the West Indies with the Australian over 60 side.
Okay.
He might even be over there now. I can't remember.
Irish name O'Reilly, eh?
Yeah. Well, his father, John O'Reilly, was one of only two players to be selected to play for New South Wales while still playing first grade cricket in Canberra.
Okay.
Back in the 40s and 50s, I think it was, And he was selected from Canberra to play for New South Wales.
Well, that's good. It's nice they included Canberra and New South Wales, mate.
Well, that's right. Well, it was completely surrounded by it. So, but talking about cricket, who's your most favourite cricketer of all time?
Well, actually, I was thinking about this growing up in childhood and cricket was my game. That's for sure. Cricket and footy and a few other things, but footy, which footy code? The AFL, because I didn't have much choice. West Australia parents, but still got a taste for sport, of course, from that. But I was throwing the wicketkeeper gloves, I think, when at the ripe age of 8. And I think back then was good old Rodney Marsh. So it's very hard to go past him on my memory, old Lillian Marsh, and him being a bit of a larrikin as well as, just a character as well. I certainly idolised him in my younger years.
Well, not hard to do that. The two of the all-time greats there, for sure. Old iron gloves, Marshy.
Yeah.
And, of course, Marshy had a really good nickname for Dennis Lilly of Fot.
Yeah.
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 Well, I can't really say it on air, but
right,
something old tart.
I was trying to edge you on that one.
something old tart. I'd have to put it, if we go up onto YouTube, I'd have to put not suitable for children.
It was probably something he said to the Queen anyway, wasn't it, on that tour? Who knows?
Well, he asked for her autograph.
Did he?
Dennis Lilly? Yeah, that's the famous incident when he asked for an autograph and she says, no, sorry, I don't sign anything. I don't sign anything.
What?
Yeah, he did that in a test match. They all lined up, all got introduced to the Queen. You can see it on, see it on YouTube.
I bet he knew it. Did he know?
Yeah, the crack.
Was he stitching it up?
Of course he was. That was Dennis
stitching Her Majesty up there, mate. Hey?
I'm sure he was. Well, look, talking about Marsh and Lilly, they were the ones who bet against themselves in that game 1981 at Headingley. With 500-1, they put £10 each on, I think, didn't they?
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
That was, caused some drama.
Oh, didn't it? What?
And then we lost the unlosable.
Yep. Oh.
Both of them came out at lunch on the fourth day. They were still behind by, I don't know how many, they were forced to follow on, and he hit 149 not out. And added, I think he was a bowler, Graham Dilly, who couldn't bat his way out of a wet paper bag, but he's got 60-something, and they added 150 or something, and they got a lead of 111, I think it was,
yeah,
or
right.
135, and I think we got bowled out for 111. And, geez, what was it? Bob Willis came storming in, took 8 for 43, and we collapsed like a steel bridge in Baltimore.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe the slush fund was running a bit low that day for the club, the team. Geez, that's because you wouldn't hear that in this day and age.
No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't sort of, especially, you wouldn't. You know, the old days of Pakistan folding over, and you sort of, or South Africa. Well, there you go. There's another one with Hansi Konya.
Oh yeah, Konya. Well, they've had it all. I mean, Pakistan, and I'm trying to, when you started talking about this, I'm trying to rack my brain. I can't remember the actual incident, but there was a bet put on a particular ball at a particular over was going to be a no ball. And guess what?
That happens all the time.
Yeah, I mean, this was big money, and also got exposed and this kind of thing. But
it's,
you know, what
do
you do?
Spot betting. It's spot betting, and it's not. It's that's sort of a little bit hard to detect unless it sort of happens consistently. Like the third ball of the sixth over is going to be a no ball, and miraculously, it is.
Mm.
You know, you got to, you know, especially if someone's got $1,000. Whatever Pakistan dollars are.
I think it was a bit more than that, this one. But anyway, there you go.
Yeah, exactly. So
puts sandpaper gate to a different level.
Well, at least betting wasn't involved in that one, really, was it?
No.
It was just a pretty silly sort of act by a few Australians there. But look, you know, we're talking about sandpaper gate. What about Lollygate back in 2005 with the English?
Hang on. Okay, refresh.
Refresh, okay. Well, in that series, England 2005, the Ashes series, the English bowlers were swinging the ball all over the place, hooping it around. And even though I remember at the time I was watching the test series, and I was thinking, how come we can't swing it like that? Well, it came out in, was it Marcus Trescothick, I think, in his book. He was at mid-off, and he was the designated ball polisher.
Mm-hmm.
And he had...
I think I know where this is going.
He had mints in his mouth.
Yep.
Mints. And they'd worked out in county cricket over the last 20 years, they all manipulated the ball, and and they worked out this formula of a certain mint and saliva mixed up, and they polish it on one side of the ball, and it'd go heavy and hard, and that, and the ball would swing more. And that's what they did in that 2005. It came out in his book. He admitted to it, and all the English have a crack at us about sandpaper gate, but you know, they were, you know, you go back to 2005, mate, and that's the lolly gate.
Puts a new spin on, what is it, bowling a lolly, okay?
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah.
I got a point here about sandpaper gate and for all that happened and that, and but I'm looking at today and how it has come forward, and Cummins as captain. So, in my humble opinion, I don't think, if obviously that didn't all happen, and with Steve Smith, then I think Steve Smith would probably still be holding the captaincy to this day. But now we've got obviously what happened. We have actually got Cummins as captain. And I know there was a lot of controversy on that choice, but well, you've got to say he's come through.
Yeah, well, you're right. Smith would have been captain still. And but look, I think Cummins is doing a good job. For sure. But, yeah, well.
Just an interesting point. I've got nothing against Steve Smith. I mean, I actually thought that they were putting back in instead of Cummins at the time, but they didn't. And anyway, here we stand.
Look, we were pretty brutal, more brutal than other countries would have been.
Mm.
And you know, they had to step out for a year, and then no sort of hope of leadership again. Well, Warner definitely didn't get that, but Smith did become vice captain and has captained in a couple of test matches where Cummins hasn't played.
Yeah, he has.
So he's sort of been given the reprieve. But look, apart from Rod Marsh and Dennis Lilly, who else was your favourites? I was a big Doug Walters fellow. I used to love Doug Walters.
Oh, Dougie Walters. Geez, that's going back, isn't it?
Well, it's the same era. What are you talking about?
Yeah, no, but I'm just thinking about all that. It is all going back. I'm just like reminiscing about all that cricket day, you know, with the World Series cricket coming in, and
Well, Lily and Marsh made their debuts in the 70-71 series against England in the Ashes.
Yeah.
Walters made his debut in about 67 or 68.
Yeah.
And scored 100 on debut. And he was the very first batsman, I believe, or the youngest batsman in Test cricket to score a double century and a century in one Test match. I think he did that against, I could be wrong here, I should check my stats, but I think the West Indies or some team like that in the 60s or... But, yeah, Dougie, you know, and they all had long careers, as you say. They all went into the mid-80s and with World Series cricket.
Well, it was a stable team. Like, I'm kicking back. I mean, what was it? Graham Wood. There was Hughes. Remember Hughes? Kim Hughes?
Kim Hughes. Remember Kim Hughes? Yeah, of course. But they were on the out of those guys. I mean, when if you talk the side that went through – like Jeff Thompson and Dennis Lilly, who absolutely wiped England in 74, 75. And then the West Indies came with the young Viv Richards and an old Clive Lloyd and that. But we wiped them as well in 75, 76. I think we beat them 5-1 or something like that. But we dominated, you know, right through to more probably the late 70s. We dominated everyone. Then, of course, Packer Circus came in, the World Series cricket, all the best of the best came here to Australia to play, and the tables then started to turn. The West Indies then started evolving as the top side.
Yeah, I remember that the West Indies are very hard to beat.
Well, they were the ones who – they had exciting batsmen like, you know, Viv Richards. Desmond Haynes, Gordon Greenidge.
Yeah.
Now, Gordon Greenidge – met him quite a few times. He actually came to Canberra and played cricket, first grade cricket in Canberra with my club.
Yeah, right.
In 88, I think it was, 88. So he test player and everything. Like, you know, he wasn't a young guy going over there to play. He wanted to put something back into cricket. And he came to Canberra. They paid him $30,000, which is a lot of money in those days.
I was going to say otherwise. What happened, mate? He got lost, did he?
No.
That 30 grand going to help you find directions?
Yeah, absolutely. But he was only here for a few months, and then the West Indies Border Control said to him, you can't play the whole season. They're going to come back, go into the selection trials. And he sort of said, well, you know, well, I've been playing for 10 years or whatever. Why do I have to go to a selection trial? But they said, no, you've got to come back.
Mm.
So, yeah, Gordon Greenidge, bit of trivia there. Gordon Greenidge played first grade cricket in Canberra. And so they had those three, cartel of fast bowlers.
There was Richardson. Remember Richardson as well? Like
Richard Richardson. First,
and then Viv Richards. But the big
we had Desmond
big
Haynes, Gordon Greenidge,
Joel
Viv
Garner.
Richards, Richie Richardson.
Yeah.
I think there was Alvin Kalish around there at one time. Gomez, can't think of his name.
Oh, I remember Gomez, but
They had batsmen all the way down and a fast bowling cartel like no other.
Yeah, I was trying to say, is it Michael
Holding?
Holding, that's it. Gee.
Michael Holding, Joel Garner.
Joel Garner. Those angles Garner used to get.
Andy Roberts.
Oh, Andy, yes, yeah.
Andy Roberts.
He was deceiving. He didn't look like much from memory.
He was a slider. I had a few mates who played for ACT against the West Indies, and they said that they were good players in their own right in first grade cricket in Canberra, and they said that you could see the ball, but your reflexes just could not. You weren't used to it, the speed of it.
Yeah.
You could see it, but just
deceiving.
Yeah, your reflexes weren't there because it was just too quick for you. So they're always a little bit late on the shot, and they're all different styles of bowlers.
Yeah,
Andy Roberts was a real slider with a sort of slingy sort of action. And Joel Garner came from over the top of the sight screen like he was 7'13", nearly 8 foot.
Big Bird, wasn't he?
Big Bird.
Yep.
For more reasons than one. And anyway, he came from over the top of the sight screen because he was very high in his delivery and you'd lose it over the top of the sight screens.
Yeah, right.
And the other, Malcolm Marshall. One of the great fast bowlers who unfortunately died young from cancer in his 40s.
Yeah.
Malcolm Marshall, but he was another. He come in from that real wide angle, 100 miles an hour, and bowl at 99 miles an hour.
Mm.
You know, it was an endless line of production line of fast bowlers in those days because they were all big guys.
Yeah.
They dominated world cricket, so everyone wanted to bowl fast over there.
Mm. It was a real golden era for the West Indies, actually.
Of course,
then,
it was.
When you think about their you know where it's at, and they've had some success for the more limited over games, but yeah, it's definitely changed. Well, the whole landscape has changed. Cricket's changed really to the power four, I guess you call it, and I think West Indies dropped off. I don't know about you, but I heard one of the main reasons, like you see sort of drop offs happening, is a lot of these kids are looking at sort of soccer or football or other alternatives, basketball, looking for them as the heroes over the cricket.
Absolutely, I think basketball stole a whole generation of fast bowlers away from the West Indies.
Yeah.
They all went to American colleges and played basketball where there was more money.
Yeah.
And talking about why the West Indies have dropped off is probably T20 cricket and the circuit, the world circuit, where you can make a lot of money.
Mm.
And these guys were brought up in poverty, a lot of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's a bit like some of the West Indies and Pakistani guys, the same thing. Brought up in poverty, and they, you know, you can't, they just have to chase the dollar.
No, you can't begrudge it. They're all doing it, but you can't begrudge it. And once again, I think the 2020 format, what they're doing, the Premier League and everything like that is
brilliant.
The IPL, yeah. Yeah, the IPL is brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. I wish it was more of a retirement sort of fun circus for people rather than taking away from the test cricket. But a lot of guys are committing themselves to the circuit. And, well, as you say, you can't sort of blame them at all.
No, it's almost like you can't beat them, join them, really.
Yeah, absolutely. But anyway, look, nice little discussion on cricket.
Always.
I'm sure we'll talk more cricket over the coming episodes.
Yeah, and a bit of a walk down memory lane. As I said, I was very, very young, you know, youngish back then, and all these names and everything, and sitting back watching the cricket on a Saturday, you know, with the old man and stuff like that. It's it's good to have a bit of a chat about those days.
Absolutely, beer in hand. The old man would have a beer in hand, would he, and watching the cricket?
Oh, I think so. What was it back then? The old KB or
KB? Oh, the KB goal.
Who knows? KB.
Well, it wasn't feel like a twoies at all.
Oh, it could have been. Back then, mate, I don't think it really mattered, did it?
It was just beer.
I think it was anything that went for little stubby shorts.
Yeah. Absolutely. and a blue singlet.
That's right, mate. Aussie.
All right, mate. Nice to talk to you again. Yeah. We'll catch up on episode 4 and who knows what we'll be chatting about, but I'm sure it's going to be sport.
Definitely. Yeah, well, I think you're right there, mate.
Cheers.
See ya.
See ya.
Bye.